You're listening to the Tip-In Maple Leafs Podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dale.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tip-In Maple Leafs Podcast, episode number 247. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We're coming to you Wednesday night after a pretty interesting game against Sheldon Keefe and the New Jersey Devils down in New Jersey. Where do you want to go with this? I mean, there's so many places we could go.
Not the best. Dude, I know people are whatever, but we're heading towards Christmas. Got it. We only got a few episodes left before the 20th. So you got to hit the merch, baby.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry. I almost forgot. But yeah, if you want to get Tip In Maple Leafs Podcast merch before Christmas, just hit the link in the description on this YouTube video, or if you're listening on the audio version, any podcast platform in the description, you'll see a Shopify link. Hit it, pick up your merch. I was just so baffled by the game last night, I forgot. And it happened.
I know, man. Okay, look, here we go. A lot of things to touch on. It's very seldom after one game that we have so many things to talk about, but tonight's the night. So I was wrong. At the end of the last podcast, I thought that Jersey was coming into Toronto for the first time, that Keith would be back in Toronto for the first time. Wrong. It was a road game. So anyway,
realize you said that.
Right at the end of the podcast, I thought Jersey was coming into town, so Keith would be back in Toronto for the first time since being fired. Anyway.
Hey, we're not perfect.
Not perfect here. Can't get it all right. So
we make mistakes.
We make mistakes. It happens. What are you going to do? Yeah. But I'll tell you this. Episode 247 of the Tip-In Maple Leafs Podcast, a 2-1 overtime win over the Devils that they absolutely did not deserve. They were dreadful. God awful in this hockey game. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I'm like, what is going on here? How do you... Their worst game of the they leave New Jersey with 2 points. It was the worst game they played all season.
It's crazy.
Or close to it, right?
Yeah. Oh, that was one shot in the first period. God. And then I think maybe six by the end of the second period. Like, not in the game at all.
No, not even.
If Stolarz isn't playing the way Stolarz is playing, it's over. If he lets in a couple goals in the first period, game's over.
They were so bad. It was hard to watch at times. This New Jersey Devils team, like, very fast, very good. Keefe's got them looking like the regular season Leafs of past. Christmas past coming around here. Like, they remind me so much of New Jersey reminds me so much of Keefe's Leafs teams. It's scary. Maybe with a little bit better, like, overall, like, they've got some top guys there, Hughes and Pratt, and like, there's some top guys there, but they don't have the Mitches, they don't have the Austins, whatever, but Jersey's a good looking team. There's a few things I did not like about Jersey's game, and we'll get to that, but there's a lot I didn't like about the Leafs game. But here's one thing that I loved about the Leafs game, and we're going to a fucking segment right out of the gates.
Here we go.
Whale of a game, Chad. Let's throw to that. Are you ready?
Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's time for Whale of a Game.
Mike Taylor here, Chad Dale. Whale of a game. Huge.
All right. So for those of you who don't know, that audio that you heard there, I know it sounds like Dale. It's not Dale.
No.
It's our old baseball coach. And if you played out of your mind, he would tell you whale of a game. And that meant like, you maybe got that once a season. Maybe once a season. If you're lucky, he'd take the toothpick out of his mouth. He'd say, hey, whale of a game. Maybe.
It's hard to get a whale of a game, but this was absolutely whale of a game. Anthony Stolarz, who grew up half an hour outside of New Jersey. This fucking guy. Without him in net last night, this is 6-1 for fun. Oh. Like, Think, Samsonov, think of goalie, think a Christmas theme here. Think of ghosts of goalies past. Like, could you imagine if, my God, Anthony Stolarz, whale of a game. This guy This huge fucking guy, he won the, without him, they have no chance. What did he make? 38 fucking saves? Like, he was, or at least, like, I don't have it in front of me, but like, I think the shots were like 40 to, or 38 to.
And we're not talking like outside shots or things like that. No. Like, this was a fucking onslaught from the New Jersey Devils.
High danger all night long.
Yeah, it reminded me, you know that meme that people post all the time where it's like the guy and he has a stick and he's poking like a dead animal or something and he's like, do something. That's how I felt Stolarz last night, like in the net. How do you think he felt playing out of this world? Like, I can't remember the last time a goalie literally stole a game for the Toronto Maple Leafs like that.
Been a long time.
How the fuck, like, what do you do if you're sitting back in the net, you're playing like this, and your team has one shot on goal? What do you think's going through his head at that time? Like, holy shit, boys.
He had, okay, I don't know if you remember early in the season where Wall had the injury to start the season. So Stolarz got the start opening night, and then they ended up having to play, I think their second game of the season was against the Devils. They ended up having to play Hildeby. It was targeted to be Stolarz's start. So he ended up missing playing in front of like his family and friends and all that, right? So he had a bunch of family and friends in the house last night, and this guy played his fucking balls off. Best game of the year by any of the goaltenders. He stood on his fucking head, whale of a game. Now, we don't throw this one around very often, but this absolutely was a whale of a fucking game. Without Anthony Stolarz last night, Chad, this gets way out of hand.
Yeah.
Way out of hand. He was incredible.
He was unbelievable. Like I said, I don't remember the last time that I can say a Leaf goalie stole a game like that. There are games where the Leafs, you know, he gets a shutout or plays really well, but the team in front of him did absolutely nothing.
No.
Zero.
No.
And
they were awful. They were terrible.
That
man.
First period, like, the fact that it was nothing blows my fucking mind. Like, did the puck even go in New Jersey's zone in the first period?
What did you say the shots were after one? 15 to 1 or something like that? It was crazy, man. So, shout out to Stolarz. Whale of a game. Shout out to Anthony Stolarz. And the Leafs now have both of their goalies in the top 5 save percentage in the National Hockey League. Both of them, Stolarz and Wall, top 5 save percentage in the fucking league, man. I don't know if you caught some of Sheldon Keefe's comments after the game or not. And he was like, he was kind of downplaying playing it, but like he made a comment about like, well, they have the best goaltending in the league. Like, did you hear him say that?
I did. Yeah, I heard him say that.
That's wild to think, like, Sheldon Keefe's talking about his former team after, and he's coaching a really good team. A little bit more on the Devils here later and what I think about their cup aspirations. I'm starting to not believe as much, but for your former coach to be like, well, you know, we'll put it behind us, blah, blah, blah. Didn't think anything of it. You know, it's a little tough when they have the best goaltending in the league. Like, I'm like, what world are we living in here? Well, what?
I think it's one of two things. One, he just made a comment like that, not really thinking it through. He kind of did it before. Like, remember when they lost that with Colorado?
Remember when they lost to Colorado
and he's like, MacKinnon and Makar are the best players in the league. How do you stop them? It's kind of like downplaying that you have Matthews and Marner on your team kind of thing. But at the same time, it might be a little shock because he was here how long? And like...
long time.
He never had goaltending like this.
Oh, God, no.
Like, last year, he's going with Samsonov and he's got all these different people going through. Never like this.
He must be thinking to himself, like, if I could have just had net mining like this, maybe we would have had a different result and I'd still be there. But
I guarantee you, like, if Stolarz starts game 7 last year against Boston, they probably win that game. Think about it. They were up 1-0 and Samsonov let in a soft goal.
That goal would have never gone in on Anthony Stolarz. So you're right.
He's probably thinking that. He's probably like, oh, best goaltender in the league. Thanks a lot, Brad. Like, fuck.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Brad. You're 100% right. But Anthony Stolarz, incredible, whale of a game. Absolutely incredible. We are so lucky right now to have these guys clipping along at the pace they're clipping along, both of them. But shout out Stolarz, whale of a game.
Best signing in the offseason.
Oh, my God.
Best signing.
Oh, my God. And since I'm saying, oh, my God, here's another, oh, my God. They're just getting dummied. Can't bury one on Stolarz. And here we go. A little short-handed rush with Dewar and Holmberg. Not our boys. We were talking about the bottom six and the lack thereof last podcast. And here we go. Short-handed goal.
I'm going to put on some background music.
Please. Right? Please.
All right, so here we go. Dewar goes up the ice, gets to the puck, battles with the defenseman, falls down. Puck goes free. Oh, my God, who's this? Who's this guy? Oh, baby, it's Holmberg.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Who would have saw that one coming? Not me. I saw the rush going up the ice. I'm like, okay, this looks like there could be something here. And then Dewar made a great play to just get the puck away from the Devil's defenseman. It ends up on fucking Holmberg's stick.
It's the worst fucking shot I've ever seen.
That's on Markstrom, man. Like, I don't want to give a ton of credit to Holmberg here, because let's be honest, Markstrom should have stopped that puck without a fucking doubt, right through the five hole. Like, brutal fucking goal to give up. He had no pressure, no high danger chances on Markstrom all night long. We'll get to Matthews in a second here, breakaways, all that. But I was just like, oh my God, Dewar and Holmberg combined for a shorthanded goal to get the Leafs back into it. I was like,
crazy.
Come on, Holmberg. Right
after Mike Johnson, like Gord Miller says, doing the broadcast, that's his second goal of the year. And Mike Johnson's like, first one on a goalie, because the other one was an empty net.
First one on a goalie.
Poor Holmberg. No. Hey, I'll take it. We did a whole podcast complaining how the bottom six needs to chip in. If that's how it's going to come, I'll take it, baby. I will take it.
If that's how it's going to come.
I'm surprised you didn't text me. I was waiting.
What she said.
I was waiting for a text from you when Holmberg scored.
I was thinking about it. I was going to.
But you've been on this guy all fucking year. Everybody has.
I was going to text you, and all I was going to say was like, "Can you believe this?"
That's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for that text.
But anyway, Holmberg ties the game 1-1 with an incredible shorthanded goal. Not even incredible, really. Actually, I don't know why I said that. It was just he shot the puck at the net. And Markstrom should have fucking saved it, but he didn't. He let it right through the fucking five hole, a terrible goal to give up, lets the Leafs back into it in the third period. And then here we go. We're going to talk about the entire Austin Matthews thing right now, all his breakaways, all this. But for the first time in what seems like forever, we get a game winner in overtime to win it 2-1 for the Leafs. It's Austin Matthews. And what do we do here when Matthews gets the game winner, Chad?
Ladies and gentlemen, we've all been saved by the stash.
It's all right, because I'm saved by the...
stash. No.
Haven't pulled that one out in quite some time.
It's been a long time since we heard that one. So basically, Saved by the Stash, if you don't know, is if Austin Matthews gets the game winner, Saved by the Stash.
Dude, he had what, five breakaways all night long? Like he was in, which is not a good look for the Devils. Like he got behind the defense like five times, four in a row, stopped. And then in overtime, he's
like, or missed the net.
Or missed the net, 100%. Yeah, he did. Yeah, they weren't all stopped. You're right, or missed the net. But in overtime, he's like, okay, enough of this. And he just fucking, that was an incredible play in overtime because he was battling the defenseman and he gets in on Markstrom and he fucking roofs it top shelf. And that's the fucking end of that.
From like a foot in, he got a top shelf. Oh,
incredible. He was very excited to score that goal after having four previous breakaways that did not go in the net. But he finally gets it to go in overtime. The Leafs get the win 2-1. They leave New Jersey with 2 points that they did not deserve. But hey, a win's a fucking win, and saved by the stash. So that's funny. What it's all
It's so about. Funny that against Sheldon Keefe's team, they basically did what happened to the Leafs so many times over the last few years.
Oh, my God. Got goal lead and won.
Yeah, like the Leafs would outshoot a team 40, whatever. They'd get 40 shots on net when Keefe was the coach. They'd be flying up and down the ice.
Sorry, got goalied and lost.
Leafs, yeah. That happened so many times. Like the Leafs would play an amazing game. And how many times, they said this last night, and how many times did you hear this last year? You play that game 9 out of 10 times, you win. Like they always said that last year when the Leafs would get goalied. And now it feels weird to be on the other side. It feels weird to be the team that's goalieing other teams.
Big time. It does. It feels so weird. So yeah, like Keith, you know, like he obviously wasn't feeling good after that one, but hey man, whatever, we'll take the win. We'll move on and whatever, but saved by the stash. It's nice to throw that one in there. We'll keep this one trucking here. Max Pacioretty.
Woo.
With an absolutely monster hit on Hughes. And here's like, I have no clean hit, like no problem.
No call. No call.
Of course it was a clean hit. There was no headshot. He fucking cranked him right in the chest, but Hughes is the best player on the fucking team for New Jersey. Did not like, and Nyes nailed a guy later in the game. He got a penalty for it, but he nailed
that. That wasn't quite as clean.
No. But I'm just gonna put the two together here: the Patch Ready hit and the Nyes hit, where New Jersey did nothing. And this also reminds me of Sheldon Keefe's former fucking Leafs teams, where you can have a guy, maybe not your top guy, but you can have a guy get buried and they just all stand around. Oh, ho hum, no big deal. Your top guy, if that was Mitch, if that was Mitch, like let's say Tatar or Palat or somebody lays out Mitch, let's just say, and like you would have liked to have seen I know Hughes wasn't hurt on the play. It was a clean hit, but nowadays,
I mean, he got his bell rung. Like he probably didn't feel good after that.
No, sure. He continued the game and he wasn't injured. It was not a headshot, but just nowadays, you know, the league, the way it is nowadays, when you hit a guy, especially one of the other team's top guys, you basically have to fucking fight. You basically have to. Like, Pacioretty's going in there. He knows who it is. And he's thinking, okay, like, I'm going to do this and I'll, you know,
and
suffer the consequences after. Only there were no consequences because New Jersey are a bunch of fucking pussies. And here's my hot take of the night. The New Jersey Devils, I thought, were in the conversation to win the Stanley Cup. One of maybe a handful of teams, 10 teams that could legitimately win the cup. I am now taking New Jersey out. Unless they do something significant at the deadline, or unless they have some team meetings being like, we need to fucking stand up for ourselves here, guys. This is crazy. Your top player gets fucking rocked, even though it was a clean hit. In the league we deal with today, Chad, you don't do that without repercussions. No. And they didn't fucking do anything. So that just lowered my expectations on the Devils of like, these guys aren't a serious contender.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Like, was it Dougie Hamilton? Is that who was the first guy in? I forget. But
he almost looked
like he was helping Pacioretty off the ice.
Do you need help up, bud?
He's like, hey, are you okay? That was a hard hit there. It was crazy. The Leafs, used to do that, but the Leafs would at least pretend. Like, guys would go in and pretend. And then we had guys like, remember Jason Spezza going in and taking someone's head off because he was going to be the guy?
Yep.
But to the fact that nobody even pretended, like nobody just grabbed him and just roughed him up until the ref jumped in, nothing.
And even later in the game, when Nye's clear penalty hit one of the defenders, I forget who it was, on the numbers, and he got a penalty for it, still not the cleanest of hits, and nothing. New Jersey was just like, okay, like they let it fly again for the second time in the same game. So I'm sorry. I'm taking New Jersey as, I like the Devils. I think they're a hell of a fucking hockey team, but they just went down a peg for me as like contenders to pretenders, because you can't do that shit in the playoffs, man. If you don't have guys that are willing to jump in and do something, you can't win. Am I wrong or with this or no?
No, we've seen it. Name me a team that's won the Stanley Cup without a little pushback in their game.
Oh, I can't.
Exactly. It's going to happen in the playoffs. It happens every year in the playoffs. Playoffs get chippy. They get tough.
So maybe Jersey doesn't have the personnel to play that. Don't get me wrong.
This could change.
Hell of a hockey team. Don't get me wrong.
Hell of a hockey team. But this could change. This could be the general manager sees that play, sees your best player get rocked, and you're helping Pacioretty off the ice, making sure you brush the snow off him, make sure he's okay. The general manager might look at that and be like, all right, we need to make some personnel changes or do something to get ready for the playoffs to toughen this team up. But at this point, yeah, I'm with right. you, man. It's hard to go deep if you don't have a spine to stand up for yourself.
Yep. So just before we move on, just again, shout out to Patch Ruddy, man. This guy, fucking what a beast. What a fucking beast. He's just like, I expect more of this from him going forward. And it's like, now all of a sudden, it's like when Patch Ruddy's on the ice, you got to have your fucking head up because he might just fucking,
oh, weird.
He might just fucking smoke you. He's not a dirty player, far from it.
No,
but he might just open ice you like it's the fucking 1990s. Like, I don't know, man. Know.
It's fucking NHL 94 for Genesis. Just heads bleeding all over the ice, man.
It's some wild stuff. Crazy. Like, shout out to Patch Ruddy.
When's the last time you saw a hit like that?
You don't see it very often, especially like, not with this team. Like,
there's a lot of big hits, but a lot of it is like when guys are skating over the blue line and stuff. But when's the last time you saw a guy almost standing still,
yeah,
just get fucking rocked like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, and the balls on Pacioretty to just be like, I'm gonna level this fucking guy. Like, I don't care. Like,
he had the puck. He's standing there with the puck. He's like, fair game.
So impressive. So impressed by Pacioretty. I hope he stays healthy because I think he will help this team huge in the playoffs if he can stay healthy. So anyway,
it'll be tough if you keep fucking running around like that.
That's true. Yeah, you got to pick your spots.
Yeah, because maybe he knew New Jersey wouldn't do anything. But if you keep doing that, there's a team that's going to fucking knock your head off.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, fair.
He's going to have to face the music if he keeps running around doing that. But I love it. I absolutely love it.
Love it. Yeah, they don't have enough of it. I love it too. Anyway, I'm going to move on to shout out to Patch. It's incredible. Marner and Matthews. I know we were saved by the stash here. Matthews got the goal and all good. But a couple quick things before we get out of here. Marner and Matthews together, don't love it. I would split them up again. Marner looking for passes all night long to 34. Did not love that. Since Matthews has come back, the power play has not looked nearly as good. They were popping in two a night, no problem, for fucking fun when 34 was out. I'm not saying you take 34 off the power play, no. Like that. But it becomes a little too predictable when instead of Mitch was awesome on the power play when Austin was out. And now what's he doing? He's looking for him again. And on the same line with him again, he's looking for him again. I don't love that. I want a different look. I want your thoughts on that before I tell you what I think, what I want to see here. Do you agree with that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, it's something that you totally see it now. Mitch is, he's turned back into always looking for 34, always looking to pass. The power play is kind of the same thing. And even there was a play last night where they had a 2-on-1 and Matthews took the shot when Marner was wide open and he didn't pass it over to him. And I just thought, okay, I get we want to Austin, we got to get Austin going. We got to get this guy scoring because he's not scoring. But at the same time, the chemistry that you kind of had when he was hurt, where everyone was just kind of playing as a team, you don't want to lose that dynamic just to get 34 going. And that's kind of what happened.
You want to get 34 going, but it shouldn't be at the detriment of Mitch Marner continuing to play the way that he had been playing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so he's got to continue that and stop worrying so much about getting 34 his goals.
That's why I don't love them together. I really, at times, yes, there's obvious chemistry there. And clearly, like at times, I can for sure they should be together. But I just think for the better, okay, since Austin's come back, Mitch has still played well. JT's dipped a bit. What a shocker. You take Mitch away from JT and all of a sudden his play is dipped. I don't know if Willie Nylander even played last night. Didn't fucking see him one time. But here's where I'm going with this whole thing, Chad. Like, do you think for the betterment of the team, Matthews and Mitch should be together or not? I have what I think, but I want to know what you think. I'm going to tell you what I think, but I want to hear what you think.
I think
for the betterment of the team,
I think that they probably shouldn't be together, but I said this a couple podcasts ago when he put the back together and then left it. I'm like, why can't you do both? Like, why can't you have them apart? And then if you have a game like last night where fucking nothing's going, put them back together, see if you can get a goal. But the way Mitch was playing when Austin was out, I want to get Marner back to that level. I feel like Matthews will get the goals. That will come. That'll come. But let's get Mitch back to what he was doing before when he was fucking just, he was ripping them home. He was leading the team. But I wouldn't be like, never put them together again.
No, neither would I. But why do you think the power play has dipped? Like, because this is crazy.
They're looking for 34.
That's right. Right.
Yeah, that's all they're doing on the power play. They weren't doing that before. And
because he wasn't there.
Yeah, exactly. They were moving it. Didn't matter who took the shot. The weird thing that I've been thinking about this team is the power play has been hot and cold, not that great. You're not scoring a lot 5-on-5. Matthews is shooting way under the percentage he normally shoots at. Your goaltending's amazing, your defense is really good, and you're still near the top of the league. Imagine if they can get the 5-on-5 scoring going, if they can get the power play to where it should be, if they can get some contributions from the bottom six. You know how fucking good this team could be.
Oh yeah. Like they haven't hit their stride.
Hit their stride and they're still like bumping around first in the Atlantic Division.
With the goaltending and with what you just said, oh yeah, it could be real serious. It could be real dangerous.
Like they're getting by. Last night didn't deserve to win. A lot of games, nope. Not really in it 5-on-5 and don't really deserve to win it.
Nope.
If they can ever get this going. And yeah, I'm with you. Split them up, try and get the team going.
Okay, so what do you think about this then? Let me give you just a bit of a different look before we bounce out here. Two more things before we bounce out here. A bit of a different look. How about this? Just running through my head this afternoon, I'm like, okay. People might think it's crazy for me to say I don't love Marner and Matthews together, but the reason why is just what I said. It just seems like Mitch is always looking for 34. He's always looking for him instead of fucking driving play himself. So how about this? Domi returned to the lineup last night. Just okay, whatever. Like he a little bit better, but still whatever. No production, whatever. So for me, I'm just going to throw how I would go into the weekend. I know the Ducks are coming in on Thursday night and then you got a back-to-back on the weekend. Does this make sense or no? Like they didn't just because they won against the Devils on Tuesday night, I would by no means come back with that same lineup on Thursday or the weekend because they didn't fucking play well. So let me throw this one at you. You tell me what you think.
Okay. We've been waiting 2 minutes for you to throw it at us. So
sorry.
Go ahead. Throw it.
Lines, okay? Here's how I would do it. I don't think Berube will do this, but here's how I would do it. Taking a play out of last year, okay? You want to get Domi going a little bit? Maybe you do this. Here's how I would have the four lines. Matthews, Nylander, Domi. I put Domi back up top. I talked last year. You want the most bang for your buck out of Max Domi? It's probably not on the third line. When he played with Matthews last year, it looked incredible. I want your thoughts on this. But here, I'm going to give you the four lines that I would go into the weekend with. You let me know what you think. Domi, Matthews, Nylander, Marner, Tavares, Pacioretty, Nyes, Minton, McMahon, getting ready to return.
He is, yeah.
Fourth line, Holmberg, Dewar, Lorenz, Reeves is the odd man out. What do you think of that? I did move Nyes down, but I think we were talking a lot about not getting anything from the bottom six. Maybe if you have a line of Nyes, Minton, and McMahon as your third line, you move Domi up to the top line, you put Marner back with JT, Pacioretty on the other side. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, that does make sense. It definitely spreads it out a little more. That's what she said. And
That's what it's all about.
I could see it. I mean, let's face it, nothing going 5-on-5. And after that New Jersey game, yeah, you got the 2 points. But if you're a good coach, you don't watch that game and say, let's run it back. You have to look at that game as if you got blown out 5-0, because that's how you fucking played. So, yeah, I would try anything. I'm not sold on Domi on the top line. I think last year he had a little bit of spark.
Bang for your buck, though, right? What are you getting at?
He looks very bad this year.
You give him some games with Matthews, and he looked good last year. So why not give it another fucking
look? Give it a try. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay. I'm open to trying anything. As long as you start scoring 5-on-5, and as long as it doesn't really affect Matthews getting back to the goal scorer we need him to be. Because we're not paying him to be a 35-goal scorer.
But Matthews played really well with Domi on his wing last year.
He did, but I'm just saying Domi doesn't look like that Domi this year.
Okay, but put him up. Exactly. So put him up there, get the most bang for your buck, and see what happens. And I think a line of Marner, JT, and Pacioretty could equally, like, you put Mitch and JT back together, you might get the best out of Mitch and the best out of JT.
And you can always pop Nyes up there.
And with the killer Pacioretty on the other side, who knows what's going to fucking happen? But I don't know. I just want to see a bit of a shakeup here. Like, I think there's a way you can go here where you can get more out of every fucking line. I'm taking Reeves out. Like, that's the lineup that I would like to see going into the weekend. Do I think Berube will do that? No, I don't. But I just want to see, like, spread it out. Anyway, anything else before we go?
No, man.
Okay, so in the next podcast, we'll probably talk. I wanted to get into it tonight, but we're running long. So going to talk a little bit about some trade targets. I've got some ideas. I've got some thoughts on some possible trade targets where you don't wait until March to pull the trigger. You do it sooner with teams that are definitely now out of the mix, will not be making the playoffs. I planned on doing it tonight, but we're running long. So I'm going to save that until probably be back Friday, and then they have a back-to-back on the weekend. So anyway, that's it for tonight, Shadi. Crazy game.
I think O-Dog said it on the panel after. Best worst game of the year.
Pretty much.
That's basically what it was. But listen, for the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget, once again, we are selling merch. The store will close next week. So if you want to get some merch, the Shopify link is in the description on the YouTube video. It's also in the description on the podcast platforms. You can hit that link and get yourself a t-shirt, a jockstrap, whatever you want. You can follow us on social media at Tip In Maple Leafs Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment, hit a like, hit subscribe. It helps us out. And follow us on TikTok, Tip In Podcast, and email us tipinpodcast@gmail.com. But until next time, I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We will.
Oh, baby, do we have a doozy coming up on Thursday night. Emilio Estevez brings the Flying V and the Mighty Ducks into town on Thursday night. Can't wait for that. Chad and I will be
back. I've been watching that movie so much. My son is obsessed with it.
Oh, okay.
It's like every day, it's like, can we watch Mighty Ducks and go Gordon Bombay?
Have you told him the truth yet or no?
Young. He's too young. We'll have that talk one day. But he practices the triple deke in the basement.
Okay. No Flying V yet. No Flying V yet.
No, he's a little young, but one day I'll sit him down and we'll have the Flying V talk.
We'll be back on Friday to break down Emilio Estevez Flying V Plan. If you don't know what it's all about, we're going to tell you what it's all about, because Chad and I know what the Flying V is all about with Emilio Estevez. So can't wait to break that baby down. Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Go Leafs, go. Hopefully a much better effort against the Ducks. We'll see what happens.
Can't be any worse.
Can't be any worse. That's 100% right. All right, guys. We'll catch you later. You're listening to the Tipin Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dale.